Specials went right along with my message this morning. Brother John spoke about something about heaven, and I'm going to speak about that at the end of my message. And Brother Gary talked about the God that created everything, put it in its place. I'm going to talk about that at the beginning of my message. This week I was reading in the book of Genesis about the Garden of Eden. Thought to myself, what a wonderful place the Garden of Eden would have been to live. Everything was new. Everywhere Adam and Eve looked, they saw something that reminded them about how much God loved them, because the Bible says that he made that garden and put man there, and again, everything he put there was a reminder that they were loved by God who had created them. The weather was always perfect, not too hot, not too cold. They didn't have Michigan winters or Florida summers. Everything was perfect. There was no weeds in the grass. In fact, the grass didn't even need to be cut. The cows and the other animals took care of all that. And the animals were played with one another, were at peace with one another, and were enjoyed by Adam and Eve. They didn't have to worry about the lion or the tiger or anything like that. They were all friends in the Garden of Eden. They could have a picnic. The flies didn't come. There were flies, but they didn't buzz around their, I was going to say hot dogs, but they probably didn't have hot dogs in the Garden of Eden. They didn't buzz around their salads. They could lay out at night and not worry about the mosquitoes. They had mosquitoes, but I don't think they bit Adam and Eve. They could go swimming and not have to worry about the snakes. They could pet a lion, ride a giraffe, wrestle a tiger. And again, everything was new. It was fresh. There was no death, no decay. Everything tasted delicious. All the fruit and the vegetables, even the spinach and the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts tasted good in the Garden of Eden. But the best part of the Garden of Eden was that man got to fellowship with God. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And God came and he walked with his creation. He fellowshipped together with Adam and Eve. And I'm sure I think about little kids that are going to a new place for the first time. I think that's what Adam and Eve were like in the Garden of Eden. I think when God came in the evening to fellowship with them, that they'd grab them by the hand and say, "Look at what we found today." And they'd pull them over to a spot of the garden that they'd never seen before and show God a flower or a tree. Of course, he'd made them all. But they showed God a flower or a tree or maybe an animal that they had never seen before. It was new to them. I'm sure they asked him questions, and their creator answered those questions. And I think sometimes they just held hands and they walked together in the cool of the evening, enjoying the fellowship that God had made them to enjoy with him. And I've thought often, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for me and for us to live in the Garden of Eden? But then I quickly came to the conclusion that God didn't want me or you to live in the Garden of Eden. He wants us to live now. If he wanted us to live in the Garden of Eden, we would have been there. And since none of us were, he wants us to live now. He wants us to live in this world now, with all the problems and the trials and the heartaches. He wants us to live in this world, but my message this morning is that the world that God wants us to live in today is actually better than the Garden of Eden. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that? Look around and everything that's going on. Look at how man has messed up the earth." You know, I haven't heard much about it lately, but when I was a kid, they worried about the hole in the ozone layer and all the sun rays coming through that thing that we were destroying with our spray-on deodorant, you know, all that stuff. And you say, how can this world today be better than the Garden of Eden? I'm going to give you four reasons this morning why it is. Why the world that we live in today, the time that we live in today, is better than the Garden of Eden. Here they are. Number one, we don't have to remember the Word of God. We read a moment ago in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God." When God came to fellowship with Adam and Eve, he talked to them. He told them different things. He told them how much he loved them. He answered their questions. He gave them instructions. Of course, one of the big instructions was, hey, you can eat of every tree in the garden, every vegetable in the garden, except this one tree. In the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can eat of every tree, but don't eat of this one. This is my tree, and the day that you eat of that tree, you will die. And so he came and he gave him instructions. And again, Adam had responsibilities. Eve had responsibilities. They had to care for the garden. Adam named all the animals. And as long as they were in the garden, and I believe it was close to 100 years. Say, what do you base that on? Well, I base that on that they didn't have Cain, their first child, until after they were kicked out of the garden. And Adam, the Bible says, was 130 years old when Eve bare Cain to him. And so I think they could have lived in the Garden of Eden for 100 years. But here's the thing. When they lived in the Garden of Eden and God spoke to them every day, he didn't write it down. And so they had to depend on their memories to remember what God had told them. Now, scientists say today that we only use about 20% of our brains. Okay, the other 80% are most people don't use them. Now, there are some people I doubt whether the 20% is right, but I don't have time to get into that this morning. So I think Adam used all of his brain. He probably, you know, he probably used 100% of it. And so it was probably easier for him, since he had his whole brain, to remember what God had said. But what a responsibility that he had. If it was 100 years, 365 days a year, 366 on leap year, where God came and told them something. God told them how much he loved them. He gave them instructions. He answered their questions. And Adam had to use his brain and his memory to remember everything that God had said during that time. And everything that God said, even during that time, was important. Because the Bible says that every word that God speaks is important. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so if man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is important for man. And again, Adam had to remember. What a responsibility to try to remember what God had said. Again, 100 years, 365 days a year. God came. God talked to them. He told them he loved them. He gave them instructions. He answered their question. And nothing was written down. No scroll, no book, no record of what God said. It all had to be remembered up here. It's better today than it was in Eden. I don't have to rely on my memory, which is faulty, and I'm not going to tell you how much of my brain I use, because I don't know. I know I have less of it today than I did. Well, never mind, but anyhow. I don't have to rely on my memory today to remember what God said. I have the inspired, preserved Word of God. I hold in my hand this morning what God has written down for me, the same things that he told Adam and Eve, but I can hold in my hand this morning, and I don't have to rely on my memory. I can open this book, and I can find out how much God loves me. I can open this book and get my questions answered. I can open this book and get the instructions and the commandments that God wants me to have. So I don't have to depend on my memory. You don't have to depend on your memory. You can go to this book anytime that you want, and you can read the Word of God, which every single one of us needs to live. It's better than Eden. Because I don't have to remember God's word. I have it right here. Now again, I'm not saying you ought not to memorize it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to put it in here, and you ought to put it in here so that you can quote it, so that you can bring it back to mind. But I'm glad that it's not dependent on me or not dependent on you to remember what God said. I'm glad we have it written down, and that makes today better than Eden. Amen. Number two. Today is better than Eden because I don't have to wait for him to visit. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God came at an appointed time. God came at a certain time. to walk with his creation. Now, I think Adam and Eve knew that God watched over them all the time. I think that God, or that Adam and Eve knew that God kept his eye on them all the time. But they had to wait for certain times for his presence. They had to wait for certain times in the day. It says in the evening, in the cool of the day, that for him to come. And so, if they found something in the morning that they wanted to show God, something they'd never seen before, something that was new and exciting to them, and they wanted to show God, they had to wait to evening to show him. If they had a question at noontime, something that came into their mind they wanted to ask God about, they had to wait till he came in order for them to ask that question. If they were startled about something at midnight and wanted to talk to their Heavenly Father about it, they couldn't do it right then. They had to wait for him to come back in the time that he came. Today, it's better than Eden. I don't have to wait to the evening. I don't have to wait to the cool of day. My Bible says, and lo, and this is God talking, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I have God that dwells inside of me. I have the Holy Spirit that never leaves me. He's available to me every single day, 365 days a year, 24/7. I never get a busy signal when I call heaven. I never get, hey, can you wait a minute? When I want to talk to God, he is available to me every moment of every day. I don't have to wait. If I have a question, I can ask him that question. If I want to talk to him about something, I can talk to him about something. If I need him in the morning, he's there. If I need him in the evening, in the afternoon, he's there. If I need him at midnight, he's there. I don't have to wait to a certain time. He is with me all the time. That's better than Eden. Because he only came to visit in the evening in the cool of the day. So today, the world that we live in today, the world with all the problems and the trials and the heartaches, it's actually better for us than living in the Garden of Eden, because I don't have to remember his word, neither do you. And we don't have to wait for him to visit. And then number three, we really know how much he loves us. We know. Again, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve could look at everything that God put there, and they could hear a message, I love you. Every flower, every tree, every insect, every bird, every animal was made for them. And again, it was God telling them, I love you. And so everywhere they looked, they could see the love of God. As they walked together, I'm sure God told them over and over again how much he loved them. As they realized that he watched and cared for them every moment of every day, he was showing them his love. But I want to remind you of something. Adam had no Calvary to look upon. Adam had no Gethsemane to look back upon. He had no Herod's court or Pilate's hall. He didn't know about the crown of thorns. He didn't know about the whip, the cat of nine tails. He didn't know about the spittle that flew into Jesus' face, or the fists that punched him, or the rods that beat him. Adam and Eve didn't know about the shame and the reproach that Jesus suffered. They didn't know about the spear that went into his side, or the nails that went through his hands or his feet. They didn't know how he looked to heaven and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the Heavenly Father, for the first time in all eternity, for the only time in all eternity, turned his back on his only Son because of the sins of mankind that Jesus bore on the cross. They didn't know about the 3 days and the 3 nights in the tomb. They didn't know about the resurrection. They didn't know about the ascension. They didn't know that they had a Savior like we do that sits on the right hand of God, our advocate. They didn't know that. In John chapter 15, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. In the book of Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." They could see the flowers and the trees and the insects and the animals, and they could see the love of God. But we can see it in a far greater way, because we know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know what happened on Golgotha's hill. We can go to Herod's court and Pilate's hall. We can read about the crown of thorns and the cat of nine tails and the beating that he took from the soldiers. We can know the shame and the reproach that he suffered. We sang that little chorus with the kids, "Jesus loves me, this I know." We know it more than Adam and Eve. Yes, everything they saw showed them the love of God, but they didn't see the cross. They didn't see the crown of thorns. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." They didn't have a Bible to open. I can open this book, any page I open it to, in some way or another, tells me how much God loves me. "Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." It's better today than it was in Eden. I don't have to remember his word. I don't have to wait for his visits. I know how much he loves me. And then number four, I've got something to look forward to. Amen. You see, in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. The environment was just right. The food was delicious. The water was pure and clean. But sin came into that garden. God didn't want robots. He didn't want people that had a choice. So he allowed sin in the form of Satan, in the form of a snake, to come into that garden. You know the story if you've read the book of Genesis. Satan tempted Eve to disobey God, eat of the fruit that God had told him not to eat of. And Eve took that fruit, ate it, gave it to Adam. And they died. Not physically. They lived a long time after they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, but they died spiritually. Because of their sin, they were separated from God. That's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, is to be separated from God. The world that we live in is not perfect. There's sin. There's pain. There's heartache. There's separation. But I want to tell you something. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm looking forward to the New Jerusalem. I'm looking forward to that country where I'm going to be a citizen. A city, four square, the Bible says, not made with human hands. No need of the sun there, because Jesus, the light of the world, is the light of heaven. Streets, John sang about them a moment ago. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. But you know what the most wonderful part about heaven is? God's there. Jesus is there. And we're going to be there. Choir singing a moment ago. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. He's doing that now. For every single person that's received Christ, he's preparing a place. I'm looking forward to heaven. Are you? Vast majority are this morning because you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. But you may be here this morning and you're still in your sin. Say, "Preacher, how can you say that about me? You don't even know me." Well, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so I believe the Bible when it says we're all sinners. I believe the Bible when it says there's a penalty for that sin. We talked about it. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But I also believe the Bible when it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we know there was a Calvary. On that cross, Jesus hung, not for any sin that he committed, but as he hung there, God placed on him all of our sins. And on the cross, Jesus paid for every one of our sins. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That can be true of every single person. Jesus died for your sins, but he'll only save you from the penalty of sin. That's what we need to be saved from, the penalty of sin. He'll only save you from the penalty of sin if you received him. The Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Again, I believe the vast majority here this morning have done that. You've believed on Christ. You've received him. But I got to believe that in a crowd this size, there's a few that have never done that. Let me beg you this morning, please ask Jesus to be your Savior. It's your only hope for heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get your sins forgiven any other way. It's only through what Jesus did for you on Calvary. And he's made it available to every single person. He's made it available to you. All you got to do is come and get it. All you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is take it. The Holy Spirit has given every person enough faith to believe what I've just talked about. Enough faith to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you exercise that faith this morning and do it? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read about the Garden of Eden, but Father, thank you that we have it better today than Adam and Eve did. And I pray that there's somebody here that's never received Christ. You'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty of that sin. You'd help them see what Jesus did to pay for that sin. And Father, you'd help them come and receive Christ this morning. Help them put aside every excuse they've used in the past, every excuse that would keep them from coming to Jesus, and help them come this morning. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts as Christians if there's something we need to do, some decision we need to make for you. I pray you'd help us make it this morning. Use this invitation to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.